God designed it perfectly, and I'm glad that He did. Let me know. I just believe. It's easier for me to believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth than it is to believe that I come from a monkey. It takes more faith to believe in that than it does to believe God created the heavens and the earth at the beginning of time. Don't it though? Don't it take more faith to believe you came from a monkey? I don't look nothing like a monkey. Now you might say, I look nothing like one. And I followed my ancestral tree all the way down there, and I ain't found no monkeys yet. And so I didn't come from a monkey. But anyway, I got a word tonight that I want to preach to you. And this message has really spoke to my heart. It helped me to understand things. When I'm going to preach to you tonight, I preached it differently through the years of time because I really didn't know no better. When you look at a cloud, you know, the proverbial black cloud. Have you ever seen the Charlie Brown cartoon show where that little fella was walking and there was always a cloud over his head, that rainy, dark cloud. That speaks of something bad and awful. How many has ever had a cloud over your head? Don't raise your hand, but how many's got one over your house home tonight? Just that proverbial black cloud that just won't seem to go away. And so I want to show you tonight that the clouds are not an enemy, but they are the divine blessing of God. And I want to show you that tonight. It was a revelation to me, and I believe it will be to you. So if you have a Bible, turn with me beginning in Psalms 104. Then we're going to Isaiah 19, verse 1. I hope this word speaks to you the way it spoke to me. I'm telling you, there's nothing that I have been given from the Lord over the last month or two or 6 months that has spoke to me like this message has. This word has really stirred my heart, and I pray it does yours as well. Psalms 104, beginning with verse 3. Then we're going to Isaiah 19, verse 1. Psalms 104, verse 3 says, "Who layeth the beams of his chamber in the waters?" Listen to this. "Who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind." Notice that. He said, "Who maketh the clouds his chariot." In other words, those clouds are the means and the instrument that God uses to bring a blessing to us. The clouds are his chariot. Now go to Isaiah 19 and 1. Isaiah 19 and 1 says, "The burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt." And I'll use tonight for subject preaching a few minutes on this thought, clouds, the chariots of divine blessing. Clouds, the chariots of divine blessing. Would you bow your heads tonight? Father, I thank you tonight for the word of God. Lord, I thank you tonight that you have spoken through the word of God. I'm thankful tonight for this revelation that you have given to my heart that I can share with your people. God, you're going to enlighten us tonight. You're going to show us through the word of God that clouds are not an enemy, but they are the instrument of divine blessing. I thank you tonight, God, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I feel your spirit. I feel your touch. And I'm asking you tonight to anoint their ears to hear as the word of God comes tonight. Let the word of God fall on good cultivated ground. May the word take a bold in their heart and bring forth a harvest in their life. And I thank you for it in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And everyone say amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Clouds, the chariots of divine blessing. Now the cloud, that misty covering that often falls upon the people of God, is not a blot in God's handwriting. With Jesus Christ, clouds come as a part of His train of glory. I want you to hear this statement that I'm about to make to you. Clouds are not your enemy. They do not hide the face of God. They are not warnings of approaching storms. Once you understand that clouds are not an enemy, but rather instruments of divine love, we won't fear them anymore. You will never understand your trials and sufferings until you understand the meaning of holy clouds. It is true that Christ will return at the end of the age in the clouds of glory. He is coming to us as well through our journey here on earth with clouds. When you invite Christ to come into your life, to meet your every need, He comes to you with clouds. The clouds are the chariots of His divine blessing. We read it tonight in Psalms 104, verse number 3. He maketh the clouds His chariot. And maybe you're here tonight and you have a cloud hanging over your head. I want you to know that that cloud hanging over your head is not some cold, foreboding mist of the wrath of God. But in reality, that cloud hanging over your head is a pillow and peace and comfort in your life. Hallelujah. I want you to understand tonight that that cloud is not an enemy. When the Lord comes with clouds, He comes to reveal Himself. He comes to lead you and to provide a protective covering for you and for your family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Now I want to prove to you tonight from the Word of God that clouds, no matter how dark and fretful they may seem to be, no matter how dark and fearful they may seem to appear by the human eye, they are really the habitation of Christ of glory. Clouds are the habitation of Christ of glory. When you know that Jesus is in the middle of your cloud, you can rest and have perfect confidence that God is at work. Hallelujah. I want you to hear me tonight. When you look at that cloud hanging over your head, I want you to get a picture that Jesus is right in the middle of that cloud. And when you know Jesus is in the middle of your cloud, you'll rest and have confidence and go to sleep at night because you know God is at work in the midst of your trial. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's get into this tonight. Number one, the cloud in your sky is a sign of God's faithfulness. If you're taking notes, you need to write that down. I'm going to prove it to you tonight from the Word of God. The cloud in your sky is a sign of God's faithfulness. In Genesis chapter 9, verse number 14. Let me read it to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
He says, "And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." He said, "I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature and all flesh, and the water shall no more come and destroy the earth." Notice that in verse 14, He said, "The rainbow shall be seen where? In the cloud." God set a rainbow in the cloud as an everlasting sign of His faithfulness. He said, "When I see that bow in the cloud, that's going to cause me to remember that I'm not going to destroy the earth anymore by flood." Do you understand? That is an amazing promise from God. In verse 16, let me read it to you again. He said, "The bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God, that every living creature, and all flesh that is upon the face of the earth." Listen to this, folks. What God is saying is that when I see the cloud covering you, it will remind me that I have promised to keep you from destruction. Your trial will not destroy you. Fear not, child of God, no matter how dark it may seem to be in your life, that your God still says King of the flood. You don't have to remind God to be faithful. Why? Because He said, "When I see your cloud, that's going to cause me to remember that I've made a covenant with you." Hallelujah.
Yes, amen. Praise God.
You've got to understand that. Some of us have a cloud hanging over our head. We think it's bad. We think it's some kind of a judgment upon us from God. But listen to me. Nothing will get the attention of God any faster. You don't have to remind God about being faithful. He says, "When I see your cloud hanging over your head, that's going to cause me to remember that I've made a covenant with you." Hallelujah. Church, I want to tell you, I don't have to remind God to be faithful to me, because all He's got to do is see a cloud covering my head, and that's going to cause Him to remember that I made a promise to keep you from evil and destruction. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, somebody ought to shout out there. Somebody ought to get happy. You've got a cloud hanging over your head. Now all that's going to do is get the attention of God. Think about getting heard from heaven. Think about your prayers getting through. Nothing gets God's attention any faster or quicker as when He sees a cloud passing over one of His children. He says, when I see a cloud, I will look upon it and it will cause me to remember. We've heard of war clouds. We've heard of clouds of depression. We've heard clouds of fear. We've heard about clouds of worry, clouds of gloom. But all those descriptions of fearful clouds are only from a carnal eye view. Actually, clouds are divine markers. If you have a cloud hanging over your head right now, then you have been set apart for divine action. God is getting ready to reveal Himself to you in a very supernatural way. Did you hear what I just said? That cloud hanging over your head, all that is a divine marker. Amen to God. When He sees that black cloud hanging over your head, all that God is doing now is setting you apart. He's about to get ready to move in your life. Hallelujah to God. If you've got a cloud, you ought to be lifting your voice and thanking God. That trial there, all it's doing is remembering, making God to remember that I've made a covenant with you. That cloud ain't going to destroy you. That trial ain't going to knock you out and destroy you. God is about to move into action, honey. God is about to bring you out. You wonder how, what God's going to do, how He's going to do it. Don't worry about that. Just know God has remembered the covenant He's made with you through that cloud.
Yes, amen.
Glory to God, folks. For many years, I've looked at these clouds as something dastardly. I view clouds as some kind of a wrath or some kind of a judgment. That cloud over my head, now I understand that's not some kind of a judgment of God. All that cloud is doing is getting my God's attention. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I hope this is getting a hold of you like it got a hold of me. I'm telling you, this has stirred my heart, folks. That cloud over my head, it just set me apart. It's a divine marker. When God sees that cloud, that shows Him right where I'm at.
Amen.
That shows Him right where I'm at. And maybe you've got a cloud of depression. Maybe you've got a cloud of worry. Maybe you've got a cloud of financial ruin. You don't know what you're going to do. But that cloud is doing nothing but reminding God that I made a covenant with my people, that I'm going to keep them from hell. I'm going to bring them out. Don't worry about reminding God to be faithful, church. When He sees that your cloud, that will cause Him to remember. When I look upon it, God says, it will cause me to remember.
Praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise.
Let me ask you a question. Does your cloud have thunder in it? Is lightning striking all around you? That is not, if that's so, that is not the devil at work. That is an all-powerful God showing His arm of strength on your behalf. When you call out for God to help you, He comes in a cloud and He answers with thunder. How do you know? For my Bible says in Psalms 81 and 7, Thou callest to me in trouble, I will deliver thee. I answer thee in the secret place of my thunder. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, you got clouds of thunder in it. That's not the devil at work, church. That is God at work. Show His arm of strength. He's going to bring you out and show deliverance to your heart and life. Somebody ought to praise God that God is about to answer with thunder. Hallelujah. He said, I've come and I've answered thee in the secret place of thunder. Glory to God. Ask the prophet Samuel about clouds and thunder. The Philistines had surrounded Israel and were about to close in. 1 Samuel 7 verse 10 says, But the Lord thundered with a great thunder that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Hallelujah. Church, I want to tell you, thunder's not from the devil. That thunder you're hearing in your life is God just rolling up His sleeve and doing battle with the enemy. Can somebody shout hallelujah? I thank God tonight for all the lightning and the thunder and the clouds that's over my head. That just shows me that God is at work in my life. All of my years, church, I have preached about that cloud and thunder being something of a trial and tribulation. And we talk about sun shining and the new day. All that stuff is good. I understand that. But now that I understand that these clouds that are in my life is not from the enemy, but they're a divine marker that God knows where I'm at, and He's going to answer through the secret place of His thunder. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I want God to come in thunder. I want God to come in lightning. I want God to roll up His sleeves and bare His arm and flex His mighty muscle and show the devil that I've got the back of my people. Hallelujah. Number two. Your cloud is a sign that God has answered your prayer for guidance. Let me say that again. Your cloud is a sign that God has answered your prayer for guidance. See, I believe there's people here tonight, you have asked God for guidance. You've asked God for direction. You're in a situation, you really don't know what to do. And you say, God, I need your guidance. I've got to have your direction. How many's ever been there? That you come to, your back's against the wall, so to speak. And you really don't know what to do. You don't know whether to go forward, stand still, go right, left, backwards. You just don't know what to do. You need guidance. Well, your cloud is a sign that God has answered your prayer for guidance. Exodus 13, verse 21 and 22 says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light.
Yes.
He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night that went before the people. You see, church, that cloud guided them through that wilderness. Where the cloud went, they went. When it moved, they moved. If the cloud stood still, they stood still. As long as Israel followed the cloud, they were victorious. And sometimes that cloud would come and stand still for days or even months. According to Numbers 9, verse 22, let me read this to you. And so it was when the cloud abode from evening until morning that the cloud was taken up in the morning. Then they journeyed, whether it was day or by night. The cloud was taken up, they journeyed. When the cloud moved, they moved. And whether it was 2 days, 1 month, or a year, the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon. The children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. Now I want you to get this picture in your mind. They followed that cloud.
Yes, they did.
When it moved, they moved. But there was times when that cloud would come to a certain area that it would stand still. Maybe a month, maybe 6 months, maybe a year. Can you imagine standing in one area for a year, never moving? You would probably begin to wonder like them, what kind of guidance is this? Nothing happening for days, weeks, years. That cloud settles and stays and stays and stays. Can you hear them right now inside their tents complaining? When will God get us moving again? Time is wasting, they said. The promise is being delayed. No doubt they felt like God had forgotten them. There's going to be times in your life, church, that God is going to stand still. You won't hear a whisper. You won't feel a doodad. You won't have no direction. It seems like God is silent.
Yeah.
You're going to wonder, where is God at in all of the chaos going in my life? Where are you at, God? The cloud is still still. There's no moving. There's no wind. There's no guidance. Where is God? But listen to me, church. God has a good reason to stall your cloud. There's good reason why God has stopped the cloud and it's not moving. Why did God stop the cloud on their behalf? God did this to prove His children, to see if they would run ahead of the cloud or not. He done this to see if they would wait for his leading. He waits until we come to the end of our patience and are willing to cry out, Lord, I'll wait in this wilderness forever. If that's what your will is, I'll not go one step until you lead the way. Hallelujah. I'm not going to move until I hear the word go. And church, I want to tell you, that's where God has got us at today. We may not understand why God is not moving. We don't understand why we're at a standstill. But church, God is doing this to prove us. He's going to see if we're trying to conjure up something in our own power. See, sometimes God, the Spirit of God, don't move in the church for maybe weeks or months and maybe longer. But He does that at times. He withdraws His presence in the sense He proves us to see if we'll try to take matters in our own hands and try to work up something. But what God is saying, I'm looking for a people who won't move or go forward until I give them the word.
Praise God.
But today, Brother Lowell, there's a lot of churches because there's no moving or guidance. It's like God has come to a standstill. They get word that people are going to leave, so they begin to bring the circus in. They begin to bring in the power teams and they begin to bring in all these other things to try to draw the people in. But all God is looking for are people who will stand still and wait till He gives the command to go ye forward.
Praise the Lord.
Stand still until He says go. What does the Bible say in Psalms? He says, stand ye still. Stand still until God moves. If you move before God moves, you'll find yourself in a mess. Don't get ahead of His guidance. If you're praying about a situation and you haven't heard nothing yet, maybe He's got nothing to say to you on that situation. Maybe that silence is His answer. Are you hearing me tonight, folks? These people... Every time Israel got themselves in a mess, it's because they stepped ahead of God. Or they lagged too far behind God. Folks, don't get ahead of Him. Don't lag too far behind Him. Stay right on His heels. Woo! I'm the most swung of a high. Folks, I don't know. Maybe this is doing more for me than it's doing for you. But I'm going to tell you, I feel what I'm preaching tonight, folks. I'm telling you, God is trying to get His people to the place that they would just depend on His leadership in every area of their life. Amen. Don't you dare try to conjure up something. Don't you get ahead of God. Just stand still. Listen to me. More often, more times than not, the cloud stands still so God can do battle with the enemy on our behalf.
Yes.
Exodus 14:20 says, the Bible said in Exodus 14:20 that the cloud, they were trapped by the Red Sea and there was a cloud of fire behind them. See, they were stalled while the fire done battle with the enemy behind them. Sometimes the cloud stands still so He can fight the enemy on our behalf. Never question God's methods. Never question the way God works. Because His ways is higher than your ways. And His thoughts is higher than your thoughts. Right now, our nation has a heavy cloud hanging over it. To the carnal eye, it is a cloud of financial depression, unemployment, hard times, evil reports. Things are coming apart. To the world, it is a cloud of gloom, despair, wickedness, and restlessness. This whole nation is waiting for thunder and lightning to strike. But to you and I, the child of God, we don't see this cloud as darkness and gloom and despair. But we see the cloud as brightness and light because we know the Lord cometh with us, to us, on the clouds. Hallelujah. The Bible said that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Amen. Hallelujah. He's coming on the clouds. Hallelujah. Look up, my friend. He is coming, and He's coming on the clouds. So what if the Arabs shut down the oil fields? So what if hard times fall upon this nation in the world? So what if our lifestyles get cut way back? God is still on the throne. He's still king of the flood. As a cloud settles over this land, this lets us know that our God is about to show himself strong on the behalf of all who trust in him. I want you to hear me tonight, church. There's coming a time, and we're there now, that we're going to hit a place that all we got to do and all we can do is trust in God.
Amen.
We're at a situation, we're at a climax now. We're in situations that by looking at it, we don't understand how we're going to get out of it. I mean, we can't pay our bills. We can't get things going. We take two steps forward and we end up taking five steps back. We don't know how we're going to get around this, but God sent me by to tell somebody, don't try to figure it out. Just trust in me. The greatest thing you can do, Brother Lowell, at this time of crises, is just trust in God.
Amen.
Amen.
Trust in God. Don't try to trust in the arm of the flesh. Trust in God. Wait till he tells you to make a move. Wait till he speaks. See, Matthew 24:30 says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great glory and power. Hallelujah. Church, listen to me. We see that cloud, the power and the glory of a Savior leading us into the new kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Why be afraid of the gathering clouds? Why tremble as the storm approaches? Saints, when it hits, know that it is our God thundering with his voice. He is answering our prayer for revival and restoration and renewal. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
Are you grabbing a hold of this tonight?
Praise God.
Number three, my final point tonight. Your cloud is his gift of strength in your hour of need. Let me say that again. Your cloud is his gift of strength in your hour of need. Listen to this, Psalm 68, verse 34. He said, ascribe ye strength unto God, and his strength is in the clouds.
Praise God.
Praise God. Woo!
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. His strength is in the clouds. You see, that cloud over your head is not meant to weaken or discourage those who live under its shadow. Rather, it's meant as a sure sign that God, that the God of strength is on the scene to help. Folks, I'm going to help you tonight. God's told me to tell somebody, hang on, he's coming on the scene.
Praise God.
Hang on, he's coming on the scene. Well, somebody ought to shout right there. That's for somebody in this house. God is about to come on the scene, and you're going to say, wow, this is God. God is on the scene. Listen, God is in your cloud. Never forget that. No matter what caused the cloud. Loneliness may have caused it. A lost loved one may have caused it. A financial crisis may have caused that cloud hanging over your head. In the darkness of any cloud, you'll always find God at work in it. In the darkness of every cloud, you'll always find God at work in the church. Listen, Daniel had a vision of Christ coming with clouds. Daniel 7 verse 13 says, Daniel said, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. The disciples also beheld his glory in the cloud on Mount Transfiguration. Matthew 17 verse 5 says, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice came out of the cloud and said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. His glory, his voice, the brightness of his presence was all seen in the cloud. Hallelujah. The cloud hanging over your head is not an accident. God sent so he can speak to you through your situation. He's come to tell you, I've come to give you strength, and that cloud over your head is a protective covering to shield you from the enemy.
Praise the Lord.
You see, when they were on that mountain, that cloud overshadowed them. They heard, they saw His glory. They heard His voice. And they saw the glory in the presence of God. And it was all found in the cloud.
Praise God.
Elihu, the only counselor that, of Job's, who was not rebuked by God, said in Job 37 verses 11 through 13, says, He scattereth His bright cloud, and He turned around by His counsels, that they may do whatsoever He commandeth them. He causeth the cloud to come, whether for correction or for His land or for mercy. Listen, if we are under a cloud of correction tonight, it is still a marvelous sign of His love to us, for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth.
Yes, amen. Yes, He does.
If God didn't love you, He wouldn't correct you.
No, He wouldn't.
The Bible says, if God don't correct you, in the book of Hebrews, what does He call you?
Yeah. Yeah.
He says you're a bastard.
Not a son.
Not a son. Yeah. Means you have no father. How many is corrected by God tonight?
Right. Yeah.
Amen. I've had God correct me.
Yes.
I'm not perfect yet. There's a lot of flaws and things in my life. But God's at work in me. He's brought a cloud of correction many times over my life. That just lets me know that He loves me, brother, Sister Linda. Child of God, listen to me. I want you to take another look tonight at the cloud hanging over your home. You have allowed it to discourage you, no doubt. You would prefer God to chase away that cloud and bring you into a sunshine, bring you into the sunshine. But listen to me, you are safer under the cloud than you are in the sunshine. God is at work in your life. The cloud is His tent. It is His pavilion of love. So stand still and see His salvation in your cloud. Listen, if you only knew the good that will come out of your cloud, you would never ask God to remove it. Are you hearing that? If you only knew the good that's going to come out of that cloud over your head, you'd never ask God to remove it. I'm thoroughly convinced tonight, church, that every true Christian would choose the very course that God has chosen for him if he knew all that God knows. Life is like a beautiful tapestry, but the master weaver only shows one strand at a time. If you could see the wonderful plan He is working out, you would rejoice rather than recoil. Listen to this, one of my final statements tonight. If God could explain in detail all the mysterious workings of His divine will, if He could show you why each tragedy, why the suffering, why the lonely hours, why the delayed answers to prayer, if He could show you how all these things are truly working together for your final good, you would, if you had the power, choose for yourself the very cloud, the very pain, the same pathway that God has chosen for you. You would not change one step, one detail. If God were to take you a different route or to keep you from a certain trial, you would cry out, "Oh God, no, I want to be right where you revealed that I should be. Don't you change a thing. Let me stay on course. Let me stay on schedule. Let me finish my race the way you've laid it out. Your way, Lord, is the best way." Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.
Revelation 14:14 says, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon that cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." Oh, church, truly God is coming to you in this world in the clouds. Hallelujah. Can you stand with me tonight and throw your hands up and thank God that He's coming to you in the clouds of His glory? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I thank you tonight for the word of God.